Okay, so if you take a look at the Gemara on Chav Dalet Amud Aleph, the Gemara goes off on a tangent. I don't know if anybody remembers. Reb Meir in the Mishnah discussed the concept of Zeh Posel Edev Shel Zeh V'Zeh Posel Edev Shel Zeh, that you have the right to posel other Edim, you could posel Dayanim, and basically Reish Lakish couldn't believe it. Reish Lakish was so blown away that Reb Meir could make such a ridiculous statement, and he basically used the phrase, he says, Peh Kodesh Yomer Dover Zeh, could such a holy mouth have uttered such a ridiculous statement? Right, and then the Gemara, so the Gemara here, I apologize, I forgot to copy the Gemara in Sanhedrin, I was so focused on it. I handed out the same Mayor Mekomas I used in my shir, so they have Gemara Sanhedrin, so there are a limited number of Gemaras floating around the room. There's a few more. Here's one more if you want to use it for a moment. We'll get out of it pretty soon. It's more of a side topic not related so much to Sanhedrin, but the Gemara basically picks it up from the word gufa. I'm going to skip most of the Gemara here, but the Gemara picks it up from the word gufa as the lines get wide. Where is it? Oh no, it's actually before the wide lines. It's three lines before they get wide. The first word line is gufa. It says, Amar Reish Lakish, Peh Kodesh Yomer Dover Zeh. Would such a holy mouth say such a thing? Satani Edo. So then the Gemara goes on. It says, really, Reish Lakish was so blown away by Reb Meir? Reish Lakish was such an impressive individual. V'ha'amar ula haroa Reish Lakish v'veis ha'medrish kilu oker harim v'tochenin zeh b'zeh. His svaras were so powerful, his logic was so unflappable, it was like watching someone uproot mountains and grind them together. That's the term famous Gemara uses for discussing Sinai versus Oker Harim, right? Sinai is somebody who knows everything, has Bekiyas in everything, and Oker Harim is somebody who has the ability to just literally make things stand on their heads in terms of his unflappable logic. And his unbelievable ability to perform what they like to call mental gymnastics, right? So that was Reish Lakish. So how was he? What was he so blown away with Reb Meir for? So the Gemara says, no, Reb Meir was a cut above. So he says, Amar Avina v'halo kol aroa Reb Meir beveis medrash kilu oker hare harim v'tochen in zebezeh. He was the oker harim's oker harim. He was above and beyond everybody else. I think I mentioned in the past the famous Gemara in Erevin that says the reason we don't paskin like Reb Meir is because he was such a super genius, we can never tell the difference between when he was right and when he was wrong. Oftentimes you'll have a machlokes between two people, or you'll have an argument, or there'll be a court case between two people. So who's going to win? The more correct side or the smarter side? Usually the smarter guy wins, regardless of whose side the emes is on. Just because he can dazzle his opponent with his intellectual superiority, he can just formulate his arguments in a better fashion. He can show, you know, in a much clearer and more lucid manner that he's correct, even though the other guy might be actually right. You know, a lot of basic examples of the truth not necessarily being on the side of the smarter of the two arguments, right? Simple examples of this are, you know, the earth being round versus being flat, right? The smarter argument, see, we're so used to the earth being round, which it is, don't get me wrong, but we're so used to the earth being round that we say anyone who thinks the earth is flat is a fool. It's not true. Anyone who thinks the earth is round is a fool. Like, it's clearly flat. We're living on it all the time. We travel lengthy distances and we don't notice any curvature. Like, people aren't falling off the bottom of the earth yet. In fact, we've seen the earth, you know, in case nothing else proved it, we have seen the earth from space. It is, in fact, round, right? Despite, you know, conspiracy theories to the contrary, the earth is definitely round, and it's been proven time and time again. You know, but nevertheless, the smarter of the two arguments is the less correct one. And, you know, the same thing, you could talk about the Aristotelian model of physics versus the correct model of physics. Like the Newton model of physics, why do things fall down? So the smarter man, Aristotle, said they fall down because they're heavy, right? And Aristotle, he was wrong because he used logic to surmise science. He was just didn't have the, he didn't have the scientific method working for him of experimentation. So I would agree with that statement. To say that there's some invisible force that acts on the mass of objects and pulls them towards the earth, that doesn't sound like the smarter of the two arguments. That sounds like when you introduce new variables that don't necessarily have to be there, that's the less logical of the two arguments. But it is, in fact, the correct one. So the same thing with Rav Meir. The Gemara says we can't tell the difference between Rav Meir when he's right and when he's wrong, because he's such a dazzling genius, we can't figure out what's right about Rav Meir's Shita and what's wrong about it. So we just basically stay away from Rav Meir's Shita. We try not to paskin in favor of Rav Meir. Nevertheless, the Gemara is saying is that he was the genius of geniuses, and therefore Reish Lakish couldn't believe that he would say something so nonsensical as to think that you can pasel Edim. All right, L'maisa, the Gemara then says, maybe it was just to be nice. Maybe he was just trying to show the great respect that the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael had for one another. The Gemara says, Hachikam, arbo ure'e kama mechavavin zeh. Right? And they said, how much were they dear to one another? How much they loved each other? That's really what they were trying to say. That's why he referred to Rabbi Meir as a pekhadosh. And the Gemara goes on, and the Gemara basically tries to contrast the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael with the Chachmei Bavel. And the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says, it's probably skipping about 5-6 lines. So it says, Elu tamidei chachamim sheberetz Yisrael shemanimin ze lezeh b'halacha. That when it came to arguing and learning in halacha, the Bnei Eretz Yisrael were man'imin zezeh. They were noam. They were pleasant to one another. They would support each other. They would give, you know, they would work it out together. Let's put our heads together and figure this out. Whereas the Chachmei Bavel were Elu Tamina Chacham Sheba Bavel Shemachablim zezeh b'halacha. They would hurt each other in halacha. They would beat each other. They would rank on each other. And they were very harsh to one another, as you see from learning Talmud Bavli, that many of the Amoraim had very good senses of humor, and they used them on one another. When they didn't like a good svar that the other one said, they gave it to them. And basically, the Gemara here seems to be supporting that the Chachmei Eretz Yisrael's way was much better. And nevertheless, and it actually goes on to, refers to Bavel from the Pasuk as Eretz Shinar. I think that's how it's referred to in this week's Parsha. And the Shvi of this week's parsha, is it referred to as Shinar? I think so. When they talk about the Migdal Bavel, so they refer to it as Eretz Shinar, and then they talk about that's where the whole Migdal Bavel came up. So anyway, skipping now to right before the Mishnah, probably about three lines there, they have a statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, it's the last word on the line, is Yochanan. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, right? I'm sorry, before we get to that. My Bavel, so what does it mean, Bavel? What is this name, Bavel? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Blula b'mikra, Blula b'mishnah, Blula b'talmud. It's not a Lashon Bavel, it's a play on words from the word Balul. So it doesn't really say why Rabbi Yochanan asked this question. So my opinion in terms of what's the point of the question is simply that the Gemara just spent a lot of time ranking on Bavel, and we didn't get into most of it, basically how the people were arrogant, and they didn't really know how to learn, and they were haughty, and they gave a lot of chanifa to one another. They flattered each other, even though it was all nonsense, and they all knew it was nonsense. But so basically we have this place, this awful place called Bavel, and yet the book we read on a daily basis, more than perhaps any other Jewish book, is the Talmud Bavli. So Rabbi Yochanan wants to know, why do we call it Talmud Bavli? Regardless of what reason we have for learning it right this second, we won't get into that, but regardless of what the reason we learn it is, why do we call it by the name of this awful place? You know, I mean, Lahavdil, you know, you could think about it. In Nazi Germany, there were a number of good svarim written. Most of them are not remembered based on the towns and the places from which they were written in, because we don't like to remember certain places. They weren't good to us. We don't consider them very wonderful places, and we just let it go. So this place, Bavel, is not the same, obviously, but Bavel was this awful place where people treated each other horribly and had bad midos, and basically we came out of it with this great Gemara. But why do we have to call it Talmud Bavli? Call it anything but Talmud Bavli. You say, no, Rabbi Yochanan says the reason we call it Talmud Bavli is it alludes to the fact that it's balul with Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara. Right? It's balul b'mikra, blula b'mishnah, blula b'talmud. Right? And then it ends off quoting b'machshakim hoshivani kimsei olam Rabbi Yuri zu talmud shel bavel. And we refers to him the machshakim hoshivani, that Kosh Baruch Hu placed us in this dark place. Right? That's where the Talmud Bavli came from, this dark, dark place called Bavel, which we don't like. And nevertheless, we call it Talmud Bavli, specifically because it is blula. It's mixed together with all three of the major formats of Jewish learning, of Mikra, of Tanakh, of Mishnah. We'll see what that is. But basically that means halacha and Talmud, which is basically the pilpula shel Torah, meaning the lamdus, the cheshbening in terms of what the sources for things are, in terms of how to paskin new shilas that come up, and similar types of issues. So that's the idea of Talmud Bavli. Now Tosos on the top of the Yomid on Chavdalad Amid Aleph quotes a very famous comment from Rabbi Natan. He says, "What are we getting from this lashon of Rabbi Yochanan that it's blula mikra mishnah and Talmud?" So Rabbi Natan says, "Pirshu Rabbi Natan, the Talmud shelanu anu potrim atzmenu mimash amru chachamim. When we learn our Talmud, when we learn Talmud Bavli, so we pater ourselves from that which it says in the Gemara." He quotes it from Masechet Avodah Zarah, Daf Yates. I think the more famous of the two Gemaras is Daf Lamed and Kiddushin. We'll see both Gemaras, but the two times in Shas it comes up. La'olam yishalish adam shnosav, shlish b'mikra, shlish b'mishnah, shlish b'shas. So a person is supposed to learn one-third of Mikra, of Psukim, one-third Mishnah, and one-third of, he calls it Shas, we call it Talmud or Gemara. You're supposed to divide up your years into thirds. So afal pichein anu korim b'chol yom parshas, oh, so stop there for a second, I'm sorry. So Rabbi Natan is saying, that's where we get the idea of learning Talmud Bavli, because it's blula b'mikra, blula b'mishnah, blula b'gemara. So we have all three things found in Talmud Bavli. It's got, you know, Mishnayos, obviously, and lots of different quotations from Mishnayos. Then it has a lot of halachos, a lot of, statements of halacha l'maisa, that's Mishnah, like we said. It has a lot of psukim, I skip most of this Gemara, but they quote a number of psukim in this Gemara, and as you go, there's certain, especially if you turn to the last perek, perek chelik, there's tons and tons of psukim quoted throughout the perek, so you can get your Tanakh in. And then it has Gemara. It has Pilpul back and forth, cheshbening things out, trying to figure out what would be the din in this case, what would be the din in that case, what did he really mean by that, and things like that. So basically, at learning Talmud Bavli accomplishes this chiyuv that the Chachamim made for us of dividing up our learning into thirds. So this is really answer number one to the question that comes up from this Gemara, which is, if the Gemara gets done bashing Bavel and the Chachamim of Bavel and the way that they learned, so why is it that we actually spend time learning Talmud Bavli? Why don't we learn Talmud Yerushalmi? Why don't we learn other things? So according to Rabbi Natan, the answer is very simple. Because Talmud Bavli is more utilitarian. It helps us out with our general chiyuv, which is to learn psukim, halachos, as well as Gemara, as well as, the pilpul shel Torah. So therefore, when we learn Talmud Bavli, we're going to be yotzei our general chiyuv of Talmud Torah, and that's, even though maybe in a chinam, Yerushalmi is much better. Yerushalmi is better, and really we should learn Yerushalmi, right? People say the Yerushalmi is harder. Now, I don't know whether it's harder. I can't say for sure. I know it's harder for me, because it's a much different dialect of Aramaic than what I'm used to, and therefore it's definitely a harder read. And the style of Yerushalmi is something which I'm not used to. Could be if we would have been learning Yerushalmi the whole time, it would be much easier. I don't know if we would be used to that Aramaic and that style. Could be Yerushalmi would be easier. It definitely doesn't have as much give and take. It doesn't go back and forth. The logical flows of the Yerushalmi are much easier than the logical flows of the Bavli. But nevertheless, Rabbi Natan says we wouldn't get as much out of learning Yerushalmi, not because the Gemara itself isn't better, but because it wouldn't serve our purpose of trying to learn Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud. So answer number one to the question of how come we learn Talmud Bavli if it's apparently so horrible is because it serves our purposes very well. There are many other answers. I'm just going to give you one more, which I don't have in the handout, which is a very famous comment of the Rif at the end of Maseches Erevin. It's the last Rif in Erevin. The Rif in Maseches Erevin quotes the famous halacha of Hilchasa Kibasroi. The Gemara has a klal. There are many klale hapsak when it comes to the Gemara. So one of the major klale hapsak is Miyamos Abaye Varava Ve'elach Hilchasa Kibasroi, which means that when it comes to the earlier Amoraim, like Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan, we have other klale hapsak. For example, Machlokas Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, we paskin, there's Gemara's all over the place that say, we paskin like Reish Lakish only three times against Rabbi Yochanan. This is one of the rules that Rava had and others had this rule. Right? When it comes to a Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel, so the general rule is, Hilchasa Kirav B'Yisurei V'Hilchasa Kishmuel B'Dine. We paskin like Rav, if there's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel when it comes to Isser Veheter, but we paskin like Shmuel when it comes to Dine Mominus. Except when we don't. There's a lot of exceptions to that rule. A lot of the Rishonim say, even though the halacha is like Shmuel and Dine Mominus, here Rav's right, and vice versa. They do that a lot. And the Rishonim, when it comes to that rule, there's many, many exceptions, perhaps as many as the rule. And also, there are other rules, Yaal Kagam, like Abayev Rava, which will come up. We're going to have, in our perek, we're going to have two out of the six, Yaal Kagam, back-to-back. Eid Zomim L'mafreya Hupasol versus Eid Zomim L'kana L'hava Hupasol, and the other one is Mumer Ochel Nevelos L'teyavon versus L'hachis. So we get the Ayin and Yaal and the Mem for in Kagam. But that's on Daf Chav Zayin, I think. Yeah, that's on Daf Chav Zayin. So we'll get there. Mirtzei Hashem. So that we have all these rules. So one of the big rules is, as we get into the later generation Amoraim, so the rule is Hilchasa Kibasroi. We paskin like the later authority. Now the question becomes, why would we paskin like the later authority? Don't we generally assume there's something called Yeridas Hadoros? You're telling me that Mar Bar Rav Ashi, because he was the son of Rav Ashi and was the last generation Amora, right? So he's greater than Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish and all the great Talmidim of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi? How could that be? This is Yeridas Hadoros. We don't say that the Chachamim of our generation could measure up to the Chachamim of Europe. You know, we don't say, oh yeah, this guy is as great as Rabbi Kiva Eger was. He's as great as Rabbi Chaim Brisker. There's no such thing. We don't even have a Havamina. Our Chachamim would be the first ones to tell you they don't even measure up to half a generation ago. Kal v'chomer, three, four generations ago. We don't have such a thing in our lives. So how could there be a concept of Hilchasa Kibasroi? So there's a lot of different answers. I'll give you two. Basically, Hilchasa Kibasroi doesn't mean who's greater. It just means how halacha works. Now, the later generations have two major advantages over the earlier generations. One advantage is they have the ability to analyze the earlier generation's comments in light of all the general comments that have been made during their time and after their time. So for example, Mar Bar Rav Ashi could have seen a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel and made a comment that he thinks it only applies in a certain case but not in other cases. But Rav and Shmuel never knew Mar Bar Rav Ashi existed, and therefore they wouldn't know how to answer him back. It could be if they would hear his argument, they would agree with him. It could be that if they would have, if they would have thought of it themselves, they would have compromised or they would have basically completely given in. For example, there's a Ran at the end of the beginning of Masech, excuse me, there's a Ran right at the beginning of Masech HaSukkah. First daf in Sukkah, we talked about Machlokas, three-way Machlokas, the beginning of Sukkah between Rabba, Rava, and Reb Zeira. So Rabba was Abaye and Rava's Rebbe, right? So it's a Machlokas between a Rebbe and a Talmud. And the rule, that's another one of the Kalali Apsak, is Ein Halacha Ketalmud B'Makom Rabba. You paskin like the Rebbe over the Talmud. So how come we, Lamaisa, paskin like Rava, we don't paskin like Rabba? So the Ran says, the only time we say that rule is if the Talmud said to the Rebbe, I think this is the halacha, and the Rebbe said, no, you're wrong, this is the halacha. So if they're arguing face to face, or at least if the Rebbe is aware of the Talmud's comment, then we paskin like the Rebbe. But if the Rebbe never heard the Talmud's comment and actively rejected it, then we fall back on the rule Hilchos Kibasroi, that the Talmud has the ability and the advantage that he's able to analyze the Rebbe's statement, but the Rebbe doesn't have the advantage that he's able to analyze the Talmud statement. And therefore, it could be if he would hear the Talmud statement, he would agree with him. But if the Rebbe actively rejects the Talmud statement, then we go like the Rebbe. So you see that despite the concept of Yeridus HaDoros, we can still say Hilchos HaKibasroi. But that doesn't mean that if the earlier authority entertained the later authority's Svara and rejected it, we would not say Hilchos HaKibasroi in that case. So with all this in mind, the Rif says that the Talmud Yerushalmi was pretty much wrapped up by the second generation of Amoraim, give or take. Right? It was pretty much wrapped up by the early Babylonian Amoraim. You know, Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish are like the major players in Yerushalmi. They were first generation Amoraim for our Gemara. And everything was pretty much signed, sealed, and delivered. And according to the Rif, the Chachmei Bavel had copies of the Talmud Yerushalmi by the time our Talmud was being edited. And therefore, this is disputed among historians. Some say yes, some say no. I'm not, you know, well-versed enough in the topic. But the Rif definitely holds this way. And he says, therefore, the Chachmei Bavel, whenever they're saying something which argues on the Yerushalmi, we are going to paskin like the Talmud Bavli because they have a din of Hilchos HaKibasroi. The Yerushalmi Amoraim didn't hear what they had to say to reject it, and they're the later authorities. So therefore, if there's a machlokas between the Bavli and the Yerushalmi, the Rif says we're always going to paskin like the Bavli. And that's pretty much how he goes in everything. Now, not everybody agrees to different aspects of that statement. Not everybody agrees that the Chachmei Bavel had copies of the Talmud Yerushalmi. It could be that they were not aware of everything that it says in Yerushalmi. So it could be that not everything in the Talmud Bavli is actively rejecting everything in the Talmud Yerushalmi. So if they're not actively rejecting it, we wouldn't paskin like the later authority necessarily. And some say that, that even if they would have had the copies, it's not an active machlokas. Sometimes they just don't overlap in every single issue, so it wouldn't automatically be the psak in favor of the Bavli versus the Yerushalmi. And that's the Rambam often. The Rambam had many cryptic piskei halacha that different nosei kelim, different commentaries on the Rambam tried to find the reasons for. And one of the great contributions of the Or Sameach of Rav Meir Simcha was that he oftentimes, told us. He says this Rambam is not difficult. You just look in this Yerushalmi. He's passing like the Yerushalmi over the Bavli. It's clear. And a lot of the Rav Meir Simcha was very into that. Rav Meir Simcha, in many times the Or Sameach basically says that Rambam is just accepting the Yerushalmi over the Bavli. It doesn't mean he passes like the Yerushalmi every time, but sometimes yes, sometimes no. Unlike the Rif, who basically passes like the Bavli across the board. Okay, so Amaisa, those are two reasons why. On the second, but I didn't say the second reason why Hilchos HaKibasroi is advantageous is that oftentimes, the later Amoraim were just saying what was the Minig Yisrael at that time, meaning this psak of the earlier authority just wasn't accepted, la halacha. Just wasn't accepted, and it could be an opinion which hadn't previously been voiced out loud in the Gemara was the accepted psak. And therefore, the later authority might be reflecting what the Minig Yisrael was in the Psak Halacha more so than the earlier authority, which might never have been practiced by the masses. And therefore, that's a second advantage, the second reason why Hilchos HaKibasroi can defy the laws of Yeridus HaDoros. Okay, there are other reasons too. I once heard a shir on like 7 or 8 reasons why Hilchos HaKibasroi makes sense. But those are the two that resonate with me the most personally. So anyway, those are two reasons again why we personally, despite the fact that this Gemara and many other Gemaras, there's a Gemara, I forget exactly where, maybe there's a Gemara in Pesachim, I think, that says one of the Amoraim traveled to from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael to learn, and he dafka fasted many times so that he would be zocha to forget all of his learning that he had learned in Bavel under their corrupt system, so that he could learn the pure Torah of Eretz Yisrael much more so, without being influenced by his previous learning. So you see that, what? Reb Zeira. Okay, so there you go. So you see clearly that the even the Bavli being intellectually honest, was saying that the learning going on in Eretz Yisrael was far superior. But nevertheless, we learn Talmud Bavli, either like Rabbeinu Tam because it suits us better, or maybe because of the rift, that's the way we're eventually going to paskin the halacha, and therefore this Talmud is much more in tune with halacha l'maisa than is the Talmud Yerushalmi. Okay. In terms of the source for the whole comment of Tosfos and the comment of Rabbeinu Tam, if you take a look in the Gemara and Kiddushin, there's two of the same Gemaras, Kiddushin Daf Lamed and Avodah Zarah Daf Yitesamid Beis. So in Kiddushin, the Gemara says, it's in the middle of the wide lines. Very strange drasha here, the first wide line. V'shinantam levonecha al tikrei v'shinantam ela v'shilashtam. Don't read the word v'shinantam. You should teach it to your children. Rather learn v'shilashtam. Slushin of three. And what does that mean? La'olam yishalish adam shnosav shlish b'mikra shlish b'mishna shlish b'talmud. Right? So you should divide your days up into thirds. Divide your years up into thirds. One third of your life you should learn mikra. One third of your life you should learn Mishnah, and the last third you should learn Talmud. So then the Gemara says, how do you know how long you're going to live? So, mi yodeya kamachaye. So, lo tzricha liyume. It means you should divide up your days. Right? So, it doesn't mean you should divide up your years, right? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lived to 120. So, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had three lifetimes within one. He divided up his life into three 40-year periods. First 40 years, he was regular working individual. He went to work like a regular guy, whatever. That was what he did. Apparently, he made a decent living during the first 40 years, and he retired at 40. And he sat and learned for 40 years. The next 40 years, he just spent time learning. And the last 40 years of his life, he was a Mora Hora and the leader and the Nasi of Klal Yisrael. But he didn't get into the public sector until he was 80 years old. So, but it doesn't say anywhere that he knew he was going to live to 120. It just, that's the way he felt. He felt at the age of 40, he had amassed whatever fortune and he was willing to retire, and then he wanted to sit and learn. And then he had learned for 40 years. I think he felt an achrayus to get into public life and to dedicate whatever he had gained. And obviously he led the Jews through the period of Churban Bayis Sheni. He did give a lot to the Jewish people. So, but he didn't know he was going to live 120 years. So also the Gemara says, how do you know how long you're going to live? It means you should divide up your days. So there's a machlokas here, Rashi and Tosfos, as to what does it mean you should divide up your days. Rashi gives an interesting mahalach. He just says, you know, day by day you should learn something else. The Rashi is about three-quarters of the way down the ride. Last word on the line is liyome. First word on the next line is yimei ha-shavua. You should divide up the days of the week. So the first 2 days you learn Tanakh all day, then the next 2 days you learn Mishnayos all day, and the last 2 days you learn Gemara, and then I guess you do Chazor on Shabbos. So that's how Rashi has it, and Tosfos spells it out even more so. The Tosfos Divar Maskel Lot Sricha Liyome in the middle of the page. Pirush Bakuntres Imei Shabbos Klomar Shnei Yom Mikra Shnei Yom Mishnah Shnei Yom Gemara Veloni Hira. I don't agree. I don't think he's right. Dim Kein Akati Have Matzi LeMifrach MiYodeya Kamachaye. You didn't really solve the Gemara's kasha. You didn't realize that the Gemara's kasha was, you don't know when you're going to die. So maybe you're going to die on a Gemara day and it's going to be skewed. You're going to have learned too much Tanakh and too much Mishnah. So really you haven't solved the problem. So obviously it's not a bomb kasha against Rashi. I mean, Rashi was obviously not so makbid to the day. He didn't want you to live your whole life never having seen the inside of a Gemara. So you shouldn't learn, you know, let's say like David HaMelech, the average lifespan, let's say 70 years. Right, so he didn't want you to learn for the first 23 and a third years just Tanakh, and then 23 and a third years just Mishnah, and then, you know, Nebuchadnezzar dies young, so he'll never have opened up a Gemara. So that's what Rashi was trying to avoid. He didn't mean, like, let's say you miss one day of Gemara, or you died on a Wednesday, so you didn't get to Thursday, Friday that week of Gemara. So that's not the end of the world for Rashi. I don't think he saw that to be a problem. I think what Tosfos is really asking is just, the Gemara seems to be doing a 180 from the Hav Amina. The Hav Amina was, you divide up your lifespan. So the Gemara says, what are you talking about? You don't know how long you're going to live. So the Gemara is not just giving a tweaked version of the first Hav Amina, it's giving a new answer. So Tosa is saying, according to you, Rashi, the Gemara's not really giving a new answer. It's just the same old version. It just tweaked it a little bit. So instead of making it years, made it days of the week. So Tosa was saying, no, the way I understand the Gemara is that it's a brand new answer. So what's the brand new answer? So he says, you're supposed to divide up each day. Right? So he says, therefore, b'nir alila farish b'chol yom v'yom atzmo yishalish. So now he says, this part I skipped in the Tosfos and Ardaf, but he says, Alkein tikein b'seder Rav Amram gon, kemo she'anu noagim b'chol yom kodem sukkei d'zimra. He says, therefore, if you ever look in the Siddur, I don't know, I'm a yeshiva guy, so I learned at a young age to skip karbanos. So it's not a good thing. So there's a Rabbeinu Yonah in Maseches Brachos where he says, based on the pasuk of Nimshalim Parim Svaseinu, that it could be a din d'oraisa to say karbanos. But if you open up the Siddur to the part that says on the top of the page karbanos, most of it's not karbanos. Saying karbanos really means saying the Parshas HaTamid, by saying the psukim related to the Tamid, saying maybe the psukim related to the Havas Aktores, right? There's other psukim there too, the Kiyor, other things, but that's not really part of the Iker Din Karbanos. But what do we have? This whole Perek Ezu Makoman in there? We have the whole, what's the Bryce of Rabbi Shmuel Omer, just so we could say a Kaddish Derabanan? So he says, no, Rav Amram, go and put these in the Siddur before Psukki de Zimra. Why? It says, Lomer Mikra U Mishnah V'Gemara. So that you have every single day a little bit of Mikra. The Psukki Akarbanos, and in our Tosas it says the Parshas HaTamid specifically, are so that we don't go a day without saying some Psukim. And then we have the Mishnayos of Ezel Makoman, so that we don't go a whole day without learning some Mishnayos. And then we have the Brice of Rabbi Shmuel Omer, which is Gemara. So you shouldn't go a whole day without saying Mikra Mishnah, the Talmud. That's what it's doing there in the Siddur. That's why the Karbanos are so long. So it's really not, most of it's not Karbanos. Most of it's to be Yotzei, the daily, you know, they came out, Art Scroll came out a few years ago with, I don't know if they're still running it, but I think they went through 2 full years worth of Daily Dose of Torah. You ever seen it? And I bought the first set. It's very nice. They have a little bit of, you know, the Parsha of the week, and they give you, you know, some basic rundown of the Psukim, and they give you a Vort on the Parsha. They have the Mishnah of the day, the Gemara of the day, the Musar Vort of the day. It's very, very worthwhile thing. If you have a few minutes whenever, you can chop some good Torah. You know, so they have something every day. So that's what Rav Amram Gon was doing, his version of the Daily Dose of Torah. You have a little bit of Mikra, a little bit of Mishnah, a little bit of Gemara. And that's what's going on in the Siddur before you get to Psukki de Zimra. I would doubt it. I would doubt it. So we'll get back to that. But the way the Ritva basically says is like there's certain people, they're so important, they should have no time to learn Torah. So they don't have any time to learn anything. So he says, so those people, at least every single day, they'll have, it's in the bag already, right? The Gemara in Menachos says that technically you could be OT with Kriyash Mashal Shachar and Kriyash Mashal Arvis. We don't recommend it. The Gemara says, a machlokis, should you tell that to an Amaretz? Should you not tell it to an Amaretz? Lamaisa, it's definitely not the way to go, but if that's what happened, so that's on a Daraisa level. You Yotze Talmud Torah for the day, but the Rabbanan specifically said, we want you to learn some Mikra, some Mishnah, some Talmud. So this is not the ideal thing, but if need be, at least you Yotze that particular you know, Takanas Chacham, that you should learn all three types of Torah every day. It doesn't mention it. I don't know if it doesn't hold of it. But then Rabbeinu Tam, then he throws in Rabbeinu Tam. Again, he says, we're Yotzei with Talmud Bavli. And he quotes our Gemara in Sanhedrin. That's what it means when it says, Bavel blew a b'mikra mishnah the Gemara. Right? Because Bavel is Balul Bikulam. Right? So anyway, The Gemara in Kiddushin learns it, or doesn't learn it out, but it's masmichit on the pasuk of the Shinantam Levanecha. And so I want to just make that ha'ara, that the pasuk of the Shinantam Levanecha means you're supposed to teach Torah to your children. It doesn't really have anything to do with Mikra, Mishnah, and Talmud. So hold that thought. And then the same exact Gemara appears in the beginning of Yates Amid Beis in Avodah Zarah. And the same Tosa, same everything. But if you look in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, so they're darshaning a totally different pasuk. They're darshaning the first parak in Tehillim. They've They play this pasuk at some chasanas. It was popular in Eretz Yisrael like already 10 years ago, and now they started playing it in America. I noticed in the last year or two they started playing it in American weddings as well. This pasuk v'hoya ke'et shasul al pagim mayim asher piru yitain bito v'aleilo yibol v'chol asher yase yatzliach. That's the pasuk that you know. It's a nice song. So here the Gemara is in the middle of darshening that pasuk on the top line of Yud Tesamid Beis. The Gemara says Al Pal Gemaret Mayim, Omer of Tanchum Bar Chani Loi LeOlam Yishalish Adam Shnosav Shlish Mikra Shlish Mitzvah Shlish Betalmid Then Miyada Inish Kamachay Ki Karmina Biyome. Right. So that's what it means that you should be like an Eitz Shasul Al Pal Gemayim. So again, clearly not the indication of the pasuk, but nevertheless, that's somehow alluded to this drasha of Rav Tanchum Bar Chani Loi. So again, I just want to put this in the back of your minds. The Gemara in Kiddushin learns it from an Al Tikre from Vishinantam of Onecha, and the Gemara of Avodah Zarah learns it from a pasuk in Tehillim of Hayik Eitz Shasul Al Pal Gei Mayim. Okay, it's a. Right, so clearly Rav Amram Gon thought you could be Yotze with that. I don't know if, we'll see. There's definitely what to be said about that. So, right, so we have the mini version, right? This is the mini version of Mikra Mishnah Tanah. We have the super mini version of Yivarecha Hashem, right? That was a minig, that was an old minig, Tosfos and Brachis, famous Tosfos of Kfar Nifter Ba'avarab on Yidala from the base, quotes that minig already, and he says, but he doesn't seem to paskin like it. He just says some have the minig right after they say Berachas HaTorah to have a little bit of mikra. They have Yivarecha Hashem Yishmerecha. Then they have Eilu Dvarim. That's the opening Mishnah Maseches Peah, and the second Eilu Dvarim is a brisa quoted by the Gemara. So you Yotze again, mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara. So I think, but that's specifically designed for Berachas HaTorah. Although there were Achronim who said that's not part of the regular Ashkenazi tradition, and we do it, Rav Amram Gon style. We do it we do the same thing for Berachas HaTorah. We just do it by saying, the Parshas HaTamid followed by Ezum HaKalman, followed by Rabbi Shmuel Omer, right? So if you take a look, we're going to skip the Ritva for a second. We'll see the Rambam. The Rambam is in Perek Aleph Hilchos Tamid Torah, Halachos Yid Aleph and Yid Beis. So in Halacha Yid Aleph, the Rambam paskins like the Gemaras we saw. V'chayev l'shalish esman limdaso shlish b'torah shebichsav shlish b'torah shebalpev v'shlish yavin v'yaskelach achris davar me'reshiso should try to understand and conceptualize the end of the matters, how you got to the maskana from the havamina, and yotzi davar midavar v'yidame davar ledavar. You should derive one halacha from the other and compare halachas one to the other. The yad of yadin b'midos shetaran adreshes bahen atchieda heichu ikar amidos veheich yotzi is aser v'hamuter v'chayotzi bahen medvarim shalom piyashmu. And should use the midos shetaran adreshes bahen to try to figure out how exactly are we darshening the Torah? What did we do here? How did this halacha come from this pasuk? Things like that. So I'll take issue a little bit of what you said. I will say, you're 100% right that he wrote that. You're 100% right that he wrote that in the Hakdama. I can't imagine, just reading the Mishnah Torah, I can't imagine that's what he really meant. Like, here he is telling you, now you gotta learn Gemara. Right? So and he says, what does Gemara mean? The inyan zeh, onikra Talmud. That's called Talmud. Talmud means, pilpulo shel Torah, trying to cheshben the halacha, what would be the din, meaning if, when you understand the lumdus behind this particular din, and you know where it comes from, then you can apply it to future halachas and things like that, and you can know how you're going to paskin new shailas, and when it's going to happen, when it's not going to happen. So clearly the Rambam is into people being yotze, their Torah Shebal Peh, not just by learning Tanakh and Mishnah Torah, he's also into their, there's different theories among historians and Rabbanim about why he wrote that. He took a lot of criticism for writing that, I don't know if I'm right, but I'm a believer in that. That answers the question of why the Rambam didn't include any sources in the Mishnah Torah. Why didn't he include any sources in the Mishneh Torah? Why couldn't he just do what every writer in the history of anything has done? You know, Tulsus didn't include sources in Tulsus either. The publisher put those in. But Tulsus at least tells you what parak he's quoting. You know, he assumes you know the whole parak. But he's like, if I remind you what parak it's in, you'll quickly chazer it in your head and you'll figure it out. But like, but still, the Rambam didn't tell you anything? I don't know. L'aniyus daiti, he's trying to, you know, sort of suck you into learning by saying, just learn Tanakh and then read Mishneh Torah. And then you'll sort of, you say, oh, that's all I need to do. That's not so intimidating. I can have a, you know, half hour Seder a day in Mishneh Torah. So you'll learn Mishneh Torah. You're like, where's he getting all this from? What is this? You know, where's he passing these halachas from what? So then you'll open up a Gemara and you'll be like, well, that's not it. That's not it. And by the time you finish all of Shas, you'll pretty much figure out where he got it from. So I don't know. That's maybe not correct, but that's what I'm going with for now. So, yeah. Yeah, well, that's just because he's clearly paskening. Well, he didn't paskin how you're supposed to divide it up. He does paskin like Tosfos, but he's going lamaskana sa gemara. He never brings in the havamina in terms of that it meant years of your life. But the gemara clearly meant, you know, as years of your life. Although, as you're right, there is that double meaning with shinun versus shanim. Right, so then in halacha yud beis, he says, so how do you do it? So this is the average working man. You know, he has all this time to learn. So he says, ha yabal umnus. You're a working man, so you work 3 hours a day. And you learn 9 hours a day. Right? Now I don't know if guys who aren't working for a living learn 9 hours a day, but the Rambam envisioned the average working man learning 9 hours a day. Osanatesha kore bishalosh man betor shibhsav, uvishalosh betor shibal peh, uvishalosh misbonin bedaito lahovin dover mitoch dover. So he says you should learn Tanakh, Torah Shebichsav. Well, he doesn't say Tanakh, he tells you soon. The Divrei Kabbalah Bechlal Torah Shebichsav. And he says when you talk about Divrei Kabbalah, he doesn't mean Kabbalah, he means Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Nevi'im and Ksuvim are included in Mikra, Torah Shebichsav. And Pirushan Bechlal Torah Shebal Peh, but learning the Mefarshim on the Tanakh, that's Torah Shebal Peh. So you're learning Rashi and Ramban on Chumash, and you're learning Radak and Malbim or whatever else on Mitzudis on Nach. So that's all Torah Shebal Peh. So the Psukim themselves, that's Torah Shebichsav, and any of the Meforshim on the Psukim, that's Torah Shebal Peh. The Ha'inyanos Nikrin Pardes Bechlal HaTalmud. And Pardes meaning like what the Rambam would call Jewish philosophy, what we would call Kabbalah, and, you know, Machshava and Ashkaf and stuff like that, that's all included in Talmud. That's the, you know, the thought process behind all of the Judaism. So that counts in Talmud. So now he says something interesting. B'medvar Mamurim. That's only when you first start learning. Says once you become a learned person and you really know your stuff in Tanakh and in Mishnah, you know your halacha and you know your Meforshim on Tanakh, so then you just have to review them. So you don't forget anything. You don't want to forget your Tanakh and you don't want to forget your halacha. And then you should basically spend all your time learning Gemara as according to your own breadth of knowledge and your mindset. So basically the Rambam says that this whole concept that the Gemara is telling us, it's only when a person is first starting out to learn, when a first starting to learn. Not when a person has already mastered the Tanakh and the Halacha, then he should just basically learn Gemara and just do some Chazara of his previous learning. So we have a major machlokus here in terms of that between Tosfos and the Rambam. Seems to be a double machlokus, really. Number one, the Rambam is clearly saying that you're supposed to give everything equal time. You're supposed to give Tanakh the same 2 hours that you give Gemara. And you're supposed to give, you know, Mishnah and Halacha Psukah the same 2 hours you give everything else. Clearly, Rav Amram Gon was not necessarily concerned with equal time per se. I mean, the Perek of Ezeu Makoman is much longer than everything else. The Ritva tells us, and we know why. Why do we learn Dafka Ezeu Makoman as our Mishnah? Because no machlokis in the whole Perek. Right, that's the one parak in all of Shas Mishnayos that doesn't have a single machlokas. So Mishnah means halacha psuka. It means like Mishnayos in those days, that was basically the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch that we have today. So that's why they learn Ezu Makoman, because there's no machlokas. Although the Ritva does point out there is one statement that there is a machlokas about it, just not in Ezu Makoman. It says about when you eat the Karban Pesach till, right? We know this machlokas very well because we're always rushing machlokas. Rabbi Kiva, Rabbi Lozman Azariah, do you eat it before Chatzos or do you have all night? Right, and then you get the famous, you get all the different people trying to rush, get the Afikoman in by Chatzos, and then somebody wants to say the Avnei Nezer's tonight, and then, all right, so you have, there is Lomdus even in Machlokas, even in that, but Lamaisa, there's no open Machlokas in the whole parak. The whole parak is Halacha Psuka, and that's much bigger than Parshas Hatam. It's only a few Psukim, and and Rabbi Shmuel Omer is a quickie. So it's clearly Rav Amram Gon was not interested in giving equal time. Second of all, the Rambam has you learning all of Tanakh. Both Rav Amram Gon and Rabbeinu Tam don't have you learning all of Tanakh. You can learn Bavli backwards and forwards. You're not going to get every pasuk in Tanakh from Talmud Bavli. So they're definitely going to leave out many, many psukim. And not only that, you're not even only going to get all of Halacha from Talmud Bavli. I mean, there are Mishnayos you're going to leave out. So many of the Mishnayos that aren't actually, that we don't have Bavli Gemaras on them, do get quoted from time to time in the Gemara, but still you're not going to get every Mishnah. And so you're not going to cover everything. The Rambam has you covering everything. You're covering all of Torah Shebichsav, all of Torah Shebaalpeh, and you're doing the Cheshbonos of Gemara. Right? So that's another major difference. And again, the Rabbeinu Tam is clearly not that concerned, A, with equal time, because you could go, Shechter likes to point out that Rabbeinu Tam Shita only makes sense if you're going to learn a lot. If you're going to learn a lot of, you cover a lot of ground every day. Because in some Gemaras, you can go for pages without coming across too many psukim. Sometimes you can go do a whole daf of Gemara, and it's just pilpul back and forth. Imtim Salomar this, what about that? Imtim Salomar that, what about this? Right? So there's no halacha, there's no psukim. It's just pilpul. That's just Gemara that day. Other times you learn Perek Chelik, you can just get pasuk after pasuk after pasuk after pasuk. You don't get any pilpul. You don't get any halacha. You got 20 blot without any halacha, really. So you have to really be covering a lot of ground in order to apply Rabbeinu Tam's svar. Or maybe no. Rabbeinu Tam just says that you have to cover a pasuk every day, a mishnah every day, halacha every day, a gemara every day. Lav dafka is so much of each, but the Rambam is very systematic, very clear that you have to give everything equal time. And the Rambam also says once you've mastered Tanakh and Mishnayos, you don't have to go back. You can just learn gemara all day after that. It doesn't sound like Rav Avram Gon or Rabbeinu Tam would say that necessarily. So, to explain this machlokas, I thought maybe you could just say a very basic chakira in terms of what is the pshat behind this din that you're supposed to divide up your learning into thirds. So, I can think of two basic reasons why the chacham would make such a takana. Reason number one is that every Jew, to the best of his ability, is supposed to try to learn Kol Torah Kula. If you look in the Shulchan Aruch Harav, has a great kuntris on Talmud Torah. A lot of great stuff in that kuntris. The rest, Shulchan Aruch Harav in general, obviously is a very respected posik. So, but most of it's just like Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. But then on certain inyanim, he has lengthy lumdisha kuntris, and Talmud Torah might be his best out of all of them. They're just his whole different lumdis on the inyanim of Talmud Torah and how you make all the gemaras work together and how he does a fantastic job. Really a worthwhile read. So he basically has a system for learning Kol Torah Kula. He says every Jew has to learn, Tanakh, Mishnayos, Midrashim, Bavli Yerushalmi, Shulchan Aruch, and that's called, he says, Kol Torah Kula, Rosh Hashanah likes to say. You can fit it all on one shelf, it's not that bad. So that's a chiyuv on every Jew, according to the Shulchan Aruch Harav. Every Jew has to learn Kol Torah Kula. So that's why they devised a system. You're supposed to try to organize yourself to learn Kol Torah Kula. So you have to do Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud. Because if you didn't like, let's say some guy, they just love Tanakh. They love reading the Psukim. They love the style, the poetry, the language. Can't get enough. So this guy's going to sit and learn Tanakh day and night. He's never going to open up a Mishnah or a Gemara. So he's not going to cover Kol Torah Kula. and you have somebody else loves Gemara. He says, the Gemara quotes a pasuk, right? There's a pasuk on Megillah Daf Beis that says like this, right? Saying that all the pasukim, the old yeshivish joke is that the yeshiva bachrim, they only know the pasuk because it's quoted by a Gemara, and they only even know the Gemara because it's quoted by a Tosas, and they don't even know the Tosas, just the Tosas quotes it. So I'm saying, so a guy wants to just do lamdas all day, just wants to learn Gemara. Doesn't want to know any from psukim. He doesn't want to know from halacha. That's it. So Chazal said, that's not, you have to know Kol Tar Kula. This is the way to do it. That's one mahalach. And the other issue is, maybe it's nothing to do with that, but it's just that, listen, not everybody is going to learn Kol Tar Kula. But when it comes to having a Torah hashkafa, when it comes to have a Torah outlook on life, you can't have a skewed perspective. You have to have a well-rounded perspective. You can't just have a perspective that only views life through the psukim of Tanakh. And just as much, you can't have a perspective on life that only looks at things through the Talmud. You have to have a well-rounded Torah worldview. And therefore, they said, you have to study Tanakh, you have to study Mishnah, you have to study Gemara. Now, obviously, certain people are going to gravitate more to one than the other. But nevertheless, every Jew has a chiyuv to try to create a balanced Torah perspective. So maybe that's the basic chakira. Is it because we want you to learn Kol Tar Kula, or is it because we want you to be balanced in your Torah view? So lechora, you could say that Tosfos, Rav Amram Gon and Rabbeinu Tam, they're looking like the second way. That it's not about learning Kol Tar Kula. It's about balance. So in order to achieve balance, obviously certain people are going to be more prone to Tanakh, certain people are going to be more prone to Gemara. But Lemaisa, you can't just ignore one or the other. So you have to make sure you get in Psukim every day, you get in Mishnayos every day, you get in Gemara every day. So Rav Amram Gon said, at least minimally, just do these three things. So you'll at least have balance in your small amount of learning. And Rabbeinu Tam said, if you learn Bavli, that'll give you all the balance you need. Because you're going to constantly be reading psukim, constantly be reading halachas, and constantly be doing pilpul. Yeah.
But then why do the same thing every day? With that logic, you would think that you would have, okay, you do a third, but every day of the week, you should be, we're saying the same thing over and over.
Right, so I think, like we said before, I think we may not have time to do the Ritva together, but if you look in the Ritva, he says clearly it's dafka for those people who don't really have any time to learn. Right, so in your incredibly small Torah view, you'll at least be balanced in that. Like we said, you could be Yotzei with Kriya Shema also, but again, it's not the way to go. Right, but that's the fundamental, that we just want it to be balanced. Whatever it is that you have, it should be well balanced. Whereas the Rambam says, no, it's you got to know Kol Tar Kula. So if you know Kol Tar Kula, you basically cover it systematically. And once you've covered it systematically, so you know the Tanakh, you know the Mishnayos, now you can just learn Gemara all day. That's not because you're going to be skewed in your worldview. You will be skewed towards Gemara. That's the way it's supposed to be. But Lemaisa, you have to know Kol Tar Kula. If I wouldn't give you this system, you'd ignore Tanakh. And that's why the Rambam says you have to give everything equal time. And that's why once you're done, you can move on to Gemara. But until that point, you don't have the right to do so. So the Rambam's saying it's all about learning Kol Tar Kula. And Rabbeinu Tam and Rav Amram Gon saying it's about being balanced. And maybe, I'm not sure about this, but maybe you could say that that's Gufa, the Machlokis Asugyas that we have between Avodah Zarah and Kiddushin. The Gemara in Kiddushin says, Vishinantam Levanecha, that's the chiyuv to teach Torah to your children. Now the Gemara has a later drasha. What's Vishinantam? Lashon Shinun is a lashon of sharpness. And I think Art Scroll translates Vishinantam as you should teach it sharply. So it's Lav Dafka. I don't think that that's correct in terms of the way the Gemara darshans it. It means that it should be Shiyu Divrei Torah Mechudad and Beficha. Right? The Gemara quotes the pasuk Emor Lechoch Machosiat. You should know the Gemara. All the dinim should be simple to you, like the dinim of like your sister, right? Just like you're not allowed to marry your sister, so too every other halacha in the Torah, right? So it should be quick. The Gemara says Al Tegam Gim V'Tomer Lo. Somebody asks you a question in learning, don't hem and haw and think, and that. You should be able to get it quickly. You nail it, Right? So that's the idea. So vishinanta means it should be sharp. You should know your stuff. So the Gemara there is darshning, you got to know it all. So what does it mean? Al tikrei vishinantam el vishilashtam. It's lav dafka that's coming from the pasuk. But part of vishinantam levanecha, part of knowing your stuff, is that you should learn kol tarkula. You should see the inside of every page of Tanakh and every page of halacha and every page of Gemara. So that's the Rambam is saying, that's the ikar sugya, right? But in Avodah Zarah, it's not dafka part of your chi of yediyah satorah. It's what type of person should you be? If you look in the sugya there, they're saying you shouldn't just learn from one Rebbe. You're going to be skewed in your viewpoint, right? You're going to become a parrot of one Rebbe. You're not going to have any type of breadth, right? So you shouldn't be like a river. You should be ke'etz shasul al palgei mayim. Right? It should be palgei mayim. The mayim represents the Torah, and it should be palgei mayim. There should be different paths that you take. You should be well rounded. So in other words, there, maybe Tosas is holding, that's the Iker Sugya. Right, you can't be Medayik in the publisher, but the publisher in the Gemara Sanhedrin quotes the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. I mentioned before, I thought the Gemara in Kiddushin was more famous. So the publisher thought maybe the Gemara in Avodah Zarah was more famous. But according to what I'm saying now, it could be that Tosas is dafka going with the way the Gemara in Avodah Zarah learns it, not the way the Gemara in Kiddushin learns it. It's not about knowing your stuff. It's about being well-rounded. It's about, you know, you should be ke'etz shasul al-palgei mayim. You should realize that when it comes to Torah, there are different directions. There's the Tanakh way, there's the Mishnah way, there's the Gemara way. Obviously, they all come together. They're all from the same river. But it's all about breadth. It's not about just you know, being a bucky and call it Torah kula. The last point I just want to make is that the Kesef Mishnah, if you have a chance, it's worthwhile to check it out. The Kesef Mishnah and the Lechem Mishnah both say, where did the Rambam get this idea that when you're done, you can just learn Gemara? He says, that's not in the Gemara anywhere. The Gemara says you should do this for life. So the Kesef Mishnah and the Lechem Mishnah both say it's basically Svara Dinasha. He came up with this on his own. He says, because the Gemara just takes more time. It's just hard. It's a bigger limud. Yeah?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Meaning, that's what he's saying. It's not. It's definitely not in the Gemara. So what he's saying is the Gemara didn't recommend it. Yeah. Well, that's.
Have to know everything first, and then.
Right. So you know, we can't get into it now. There's some great stuff on that line in terms of what could help us here. But Lamaisa, he says he figured it out, understanding, like, it just takes more time and takes more effort, and it's the Iker Limud, right? So, but the Hagos Maimoni on that Rambam says, no, it's a Beferish Gemara in Bav Metzia. You have the Gemara. Bav Metzia Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph says quickly, Tana Rabbanan Oskim B'mikra Mida V'ein Amida B'mishna Mida V'notla L'schar Gemara Ein L'cha Mida Gedola Mizu, right? If you learn Mikra, if you learn Mishnah, you get good. If you learn Gemara, that's the best. So, the Kesef Mishnah is forever telling you what Gemara the Rambam got it from. He's not telling you the Rambam said things Misvara Dinafshe. So why does he ignore that Gemara and say the Rambam is learning Misvara Dinafshe? So if you have a chance, there's two basic ways to learn that Gemara. Does it really mean Gemara is the best and everything else is eh? Or maybe not. So Rashi doesn't learn that way. Rashi just says, it's because at the time that this was published, this is a brice of Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. So the Tanakh was written down. He was publishing the Mishnayos, but Gemara wasn't written down yet. So he wanted to be Mizari's people, Dafka, to learn Gemara. So he was telling them, you know, Gemara is the way to go. Because Tanakh, if you forget, look it up. The Mishnah, you forgot, look it up. Gemara, either you know it or you don't. It's gone. So it loved Dafka that Gemara is more important. It's just that. If you don't learn it, so by the time the Rambam was around, Gemara was published, so there was no reason Dafka to tell you that Gemara was Iker. So that's why the Kesef Mishnah says, must be Misvara Dinafshe, not based on that Gemara. If you look, I have the Shita Mekubetzes, quotes from Rabbeinu Hanan, it says, no, Gemara is it. Gemara, they take the Gemara literally. So that's the Hagos Maimonides way of learning the Rambam, that he based it on that Gemara, that the Iker learning is Gemara, and everything else is secondary. Okay, have a good evening.